Well, good morning, Lakeside. My name's Pastor Dave. If you don't know me, I'm one of the pastors on staff. Take your Bibles, if you have them, turn to Genesis chapter 8. The scripture is in your bulletin, a handout, maybe a device. It's a privilege to be able to put your own eyes on the scripture. And I'll read Genesis 8, 1 through 20 this morning as we have some time, discuss. Here's some thoughts about, does God forget? Does God forget? Genesis 8, and I'll start reading at verse 1 and go through verse 20. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed. The rain from the heaven was restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the water had abated. And in the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. Verse 5, and the waters continued to abate until the tenth month. Notice how specific God is here. In the tenth month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. And at the end of 40 days, verse 6, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand, and he took her and brought her into the ark with him. Verse 10, he waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And this time the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf, still a sign of peace today. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. Now notice again the specificity that God gives us in the flood narrative. Verse 13, in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Verse 15, then God said to Noah, go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all the flesh, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. And then we'll close in verse 20 and notice Noah's response. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and he took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird, and he offered burnt offerings on the altar. Let me have a word of prayer. Father, thank you. For your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for how specific you are in our text that we're reading. And last week, how specific the dates and the times and the days and the months of the flood. Lord, you're trying to show us that this really happened. And Lord, so I pray that you would help us glean from our text of scripture today. And Lord, would you bless each and every one of us as we consider whether you are even capable of forgetting. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's precious name. Amen. What is the most important thing you have ever forgotten? Most important thing that you've ever forgotten. After the first service, I had a couple come up and said that a wife had forgotten their anniversary and was 30 days late in remembering the anniversary. Deb and I once left our youngest, something's flickering up there, got spotlights and stuff going on. Wow. My wife's not here. I could break out a dance. Okay. If she's watching the live stream, she's driving back here right now. Deb and I once left our youngest child, I think under four, at the church after church, and we were sitting down to eat a couple of miles away at our house, and so we got a knock on the door. We counted heads, and we were one short. In the 1960s, 1964 to be exact, Jim Marshall of the Vikings happened to be playing my 49ers. He was a member of what was called the Purple People Eaters, and was a fearsome defensive unit for the Vikings. And in the game he played, he scooped up a fumble, and he ran 66 yards. And you can go watch the video. I should have put the video on as a couple minutes. But he crosses the goal line, and he's so excited. He throws the football up into the crowd. He looks over, and everybody on his bench is like this. You guessed it. He ran the wrong way, 66 yards, and scored a safety for the other team, the longest safety in history. In the excitement of the moment, he forgot which end zone was his. But more importantly and more seriously for our time this morning, does God forget? Now it says in Genesis 8 and verse 1, but God remembered Noah. Well, does that mean that God forgot Noah? Have you ever been in a situation, maybe you are now, where it seems that God has forgotten you? I talked to a number of people after the first service. Maybe even seems like God's not only forgotten you, but that he's abandoned you. A number of you, just being your pastor, I know the difficult circumstance you're walking through, and you're wondering where God is. Has he forgotten? You had a great marriage, storybook wedding. Now it's ending or headed for divorce. Maybe you had a great business, and because of circumstances outside of your control, or COVID comes along and you go bankrupt. Maybe you were in great health. You go for a routine checkup and you get a very difficult diagnosis. Maybe there's been a sudden loss of life and you're wondering where God is. Just Thursday morning here at Lakeside, at 8:30 in the morning, I was in my office, the southeast corner of our building. Pastor Joel's office is right next to me. He comes running in my office. He said, Dave, I just looked out the window. There's a car parked. The door's open. And there's a lady about 10 yards away from the car, and she's laying on the ground. She's not moving. And so Joel first, and I followed. Pastor Trevor came right behind, and we got up to her. She wasn't moving. Talked to her a little bit, and we could see that she was breathing, and got her some water, and she came to a little bit, brought a chair out, and she had been driving down Bridge Road, got a call from her sister to pull over, that she had something to say, and she found out that her oldest brother, the brother right next to her, the brother that she shared a number of things with, he had died unexpectedly earlier that morning, and that the police had knocked on the door of her sister's house, or the sister-in-law's house. Her name was Aisha. She didn't know what to do, and she got out of the car, and she was so overcome with grief that she literally fainted and passed out on the concrete. And when she came to, she was like, I just can't believe this. I can't. This has got to be a dream. Why would this happen to me? And we read Psalm 23 and just, you know, talking about God's mercy and God's greatness and the Lord is your shepherd. You know, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and she revived a little bit. And like I said, we got her sitting in the chair, and she's part of a worship team at another church. And she just lives within a stone's throw of here, 47 years old and totally broken. She somewhat verbalized, like, God, how can this be? Like, I'm serving you. Well, the psalmist And over in Scripture, you see this kind of thing. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Arise, O Lord, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. And this morning, we want to ask the question, does God forget? Answer the question and see what does that mean for each and every one of us today. So let me pray as your pastor. Let me pray this morning. Father, we come to you, and Lord, just being one of the pastors on staff, I know about a myriad of difficulties going on in the lives of the Lakeside family, and no doubt we have visitors. And Lord, I know that I had an interest in church, a great interest in church when my life bottomed out. And so, Lord, if you brought somebody here for the first time this morning because of a difficulty in their life, we thank you that they're here with us. Lord, there are people that are walking the deep valleys of the shadow of death, even in our midst. Lord, there's brokenness everywhere and broken relationships and financial woes, and doesn't seem like a day goes by, maybe, Lord, where there's a difficult diagnosis. And so I pray, Lord, that you would meet with us, show us who you are here this morning from Genesis chapter 8, in Christ's precious name, amen. So we want to just spend a couple moments asking and answering the question, does God forget? And the good news today is God absolutely does not forget. He does not forget. So we need to find out, well, what does it mean when God says that he remembered Noah? Well, God doesn't forget. So let me just give you some very basic theology. We do have a theology class that's starting tonight. It's open to anybody. And we're going to just be looking at who is God. And I'm teaching the lesson tonight. And then next week, we'll look at the attributes. But let me give you just three very simple things about God so we can say, well, I'm not sure what it means that God remembered Noah, but I think from Scripture that God's incapable of forgetting. So just you have a hand out there. God is all-knowing. Scripture is abundantly clear from Genesis to Revelation that God is all-knowing. God also already knows what's going to happen in the future. Listen to what Isaiah wrote. Remember the former things of old. God, so he's recording God. For I am God and there's no other. I am God, there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. So Aisha, passing out with grief in the parking lot, caught the pastors off guard, did not catch God off guard. He's all knowing. Secondly, God is all seeing. Now, if you ever wanted to do a Bible study that will reap benefits for the rest of your life, study the names of God. In the book of Genesis, his name is Elroy. He's the God who sees. Elroy, the God who sees. The psalmist in Psalm 139 wrote, O Lord, you've searched me, you know me. You know when I sit down, you know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path, my lying down. You're acquainted with all of my ways. So he knows and he sees. And he doesn't just know in a general way. He sees and knows in a very specific way. And then just truth number three, and we could go on with the list, but does God forget? No. God is always present. So it's not only that God knows and God sees, but God is always present. The psalmist in Psalm 139 went on to write this, where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, ask Jonah about this. Even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, well, surely darkness shall cover me, nothing worse than having a difficult time in life and the nighttime comes, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, God. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light. So he's all-knowing, he's all-seeing, he's always present. So we can comfortably say, no, whatever is going on in Genesis 8 and verse 1 about God remembering Noah, we can certainly say God did not forget Noah. He did not forget Noah. Now, again, I don't want to be easy here, but God never had a senior moment. And I can appreciate that more about God as time goes on. Well, God remembers Noah. Put that down. It's fill in the blank. God remembers Noah. What does it mean that God remembered Noah? If he doesn't forget, what does that actually mean? That's a good question. Well, last week, Pastor Trevor did an excellent job. If you were gone, you were just traveling, whatever, you haven't heard the message, you should listen to his message on Genesis 7. He did a tremendous job in working through the flood, and he brought us to the point where God says, okay, today's the day, everybody in, it's been 7 days now, and God shut the door. And he had us think about what took place when God shut the door not to open. Well, in Genesis 8, when God remembers Noah, I'll have a timeline here in a little bit, you'll see the waters are starting to recede. So in Genesis 7, they're progressively, it's filling the earth. And in Genesis 8, it starts receding. And the hinge verse between the waters progressing and the waters receding is Genesis 8, verse 1. But God remembered Noah. Now look at verse 1. It does not say God forgot about Noah. The atheist would say God has no, he's not, doesn't even exist, so he's not even going to know about Noah. The agnostic would say, I don't even know if God exists. I'm not sure he would even care. Those are two worldviews that view God as irrelevant, as absent, uninterested. But, first word of Genesis chapter 8, God's favorite word to start a sentence, but God remembered. Well, what does that mean? Well, when God remembers, it's a very specific Hebrew word. It's used many times of God in Scripture. It's the Hebrew word zakar. You don't need to remember that unless you want to impress somebody about something you learned today. But it means to intentionally call to mind so as to act. It's never out of mind, oh my goodness. It's to intentionally call someone or something to mind so as to act. Humanly, we do this all the time. If you take your birthday or somebody's birthday, it's like remembering loved ones on their birthdays. It doesn't mean that we forgot about them the other 360 plus days, but it means that in an intentional way and in a very significant way, we remember them on that day. And that's exactly the way it is with God. If you do a Bible study about God remembering, you'll find this, that when God remembers his faithful covenant love, and then God has a timely intervention. God has a timely intervention. Maybe write down this simple statement. When God remembers, God responds. When God remembers, God responds. Now, again, it's an unbelievable Bible study. Let me give you a little bit of my Bible study about when God remembered. God remembered Abraham, actual word used, Genesis 19, and he rescued Abraham's brother Lot and brought him to safety. In Genesis 30, God remembered Rachel, and it says in the very next verse, he opened her womb. God remembered the Israelites as they cried out to God. And it says in Exodus 2 that God remembered them and then he sent Moses. In 1 Samuel 1, I love the beginning of 1 Samuel 1 and 2 of the whole book. But God remembered Hannah. And Hannah, if you know, had begged God for a son. She wanted a son so much so she said, God, if you give me a son, I'll dedicate that son right back to you. And Hannah, God remembered Hannah, gave him a son, and Hannah remembered God and gave the son back. His name was Samuel. And then there's a number of verses that say that God remembers the afflicted. So when God remembers, God responds. When God remembers, God responds. Now from the passage, what we want to say is, well, how did God respond when he remembered Noah? So you have, but God remembered Noah in verse 1. Well, how did God respond? Well, let me give you three things that he did, and there are many in the passage, but three actions. Number one, God sent a wind. God sent a wind. Look at Genesis 8 and verse 1 with me. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. Numerous times in Scripture, God would bring a wind. You think of the crossing of the Red Sea. God would bring a wind, and it would create dry ground so the Israelites could walk through on a smooth path. That's what God is doing here. In Genesis 1, the same word for the Spirit is used for wind, and there was waters over the face, and God's Spirit, God's wind hovered over top of that. Proverbs 30 and verse 4 is a great passage of Scripture. Now, I want you to notice the little gospel glimpse in this passage written long before Christ. Proverbs 30 and verse 4. Who's ascended to heaven and come down? Who's gathered the wind in his fists? Who's wrapped the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? Now, listen to the next phrase. What is his name? What is his son's name? Surely you know. And so God sent a wind. Now, here's what I would say for us. So we don't have to wait to the end and say, well, what does that practically mean? Well, if you think of the flood narrative, you have the waves and you have the wind. God controls the waves. That's the rough part of your life. That's going through the valley. And God controls the wind where he's going to bring you to dry ground. He's going to put your feet on. He controls the waves and he controls the wind. And then it says in Genesis 8 and verse 4 that the ark rested. I mean, that had to be a glorious day for Noah. This is actually Mount Ararat, the mountains of Mount Ararat. There are two, geologists believe that they're volcanic mountains. The one on the right is 17,000 feet above sea level. There's been a number of expeditions to that mountain to find Noah's ark. 30, 40 years ago, a team got to 14,000 foot, and it's snow covered and it's ice covered. And they dug down and they feel like they uncovered maybe some timbers of wood that should not have been there. It doesn't matter to me because God said the ark rested on Mount Ararat. And then, so God sent a wind, and then God gave a sign. God gave a sign. And from Genesis 8 and verse 6 through the bulk of our passage that I read this morning, God gave him a sign, gradually gave him a sign, sent a raven out first. Now, why would Noah first send a raven? Well, a raven would eat anything. They would eat rotting flesh. So sends the raven, the dirty bird, out first. And then maybe that's where the dirty bird actually came from. You dirty bird, you. Then he sent a dove. Dove comes back, nothing. Sends a dove out 7 days later. Dove comes back with an olive leaf. Now that would have tripped Noah's trigger because he would have seen something's actually growing now. That would have brought hope. Sends a dove out 7 days later and the dove does not return. Now I took a timeline that somebody else had done and I added a number of things to it because I want you to get this visual in your mind, because for the very next thing that God did for Noah when he remembered Noah is going to be very important for you to understand and grab onto this morning. So you see very specifically that God, in the 600th year, the second month, 17th day, that was last week, the flood starts. 40 days, the ark's lifted off the earth. The peak of the flood is at 150 days. And then you go and the ark lands on Mount Ararat. That's Genesis 8:4, which we're in right now. The ravens and the doves, they're sent out a couple of times. The dove returns with an olive leaf. And then at day right around, give or take a couple of days, a little over a year, 370 days, Noah's going to come out of the ark. Now here's what I want you to see about this visual. I want you to see that God took 150 days to flood the earth. And then he took 220 days for the earth to be dry. And we should ask ourselves, why would God take longer for the water to go down than the water to go up? And I think that there's a counseling, a biblical, a spiritual growth, a progressive sanctification truth in here. J.D. Phillips wrote that that's very possible that it was God's will that the earth be fully ready for the redeemed and that all traces of God's wrath be erased before they were permitted to come out of the ark. I mean, 700 million people, roughly, or give or take, a million here or there, all the birds and all the animals were flooded. They drowned. And so God, in his grace and his mercy, gave signs that there was progression, progressive sanctification, but the actual culmination took a while. Now, think of 150 days, think of 370 days. The third thing that God did when he remembered Noah is he spoke a word. He spoke a word. And if you look at Genesis 8, verse 15, then God said to Noah, go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And then verse 17, bring out every living thing. Verse 18, so Noah went out, him and his sons. Okay, how many days was the flood from beginning to end? Tell me what the last little dot there on that timeline was. 370 days. When was the last time God spoke to Noah? Did anybody know? The last recorded time God spoke to Noah was the day Noah got in the ark. There is not a word recorded from God from go into the ark, 370 days later, come out of the ark. If you were Noah, you would have felt abandoned. You were told to go in. God never said, this is how long you're going to be in there, and then you're going to come out. Not one recorded word from God in 370 days. Noah had done everything God had asked. Scripture even said that Noah walked with God. It was said of Noah before the flood that he walked with God. He had this intimate fellowship, and all of a sudden, he goes into the ark, exactly what God told him to do, and all of a sudden, no communication. In the ark, Noah had zero control. There's no rudder on the ship. There's no wheel on the ship. There's no sail on the ship. There's no view from the ship. There's no lookout on the ship. There's no GPS. There's not a midnight buffet. There's nothing. There's no previous experience of, okay, God's going to answer. He's done this before. There's no timetable. There's no communication. There's no recorded emotions of Noah in these 370 days, but put yourself in there. But then God remembers, and when God remembers, God responds. And so I just want you to step back. If you're in the spot, or you've been in the spot, or you're walking in the spot, you're in the spot right now, where you said, like, Lord, where are you? Well, take courage in this passage. Noah went 370 days without hearing from God. Now, when you look at the timeline, does that mean that God was not active? Does that mean that God wasn't actually doing something to help Noah? Was he not in the rescue? Was he not having the waters recede? Was he not, did he not give him a sign? Did he not now give him his word? I think to Noah, when it said, come out of the ark, that was like telling Lazarus, come out of the grave. The world Noah knew, had known, was gone forever. No cities, no roads. Geography had changed radically. No landmarks. And of all frightful things, no people. It might have been easier for Noah to stay in the ark. He's going out into an unknown. And for some here this morning, God's asking you to take a step of faith because he remembers you. Now, verse 20, so God remembered Noah. I have to close here, but just look at verse 20. Noah remembers God. Then Noah, verse 20, built an altar to the Lord, took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma. And the Lord said in his heart, I will never curse the ground again for man's sake. So Noah did something that is a little bit unusual for humanity. Thank God after the storm has passed. I happen to be a pastor during 9/11 at Sailorville. I saw people totally broken, totally lost, totally frenzied, pulling into the church parking lot, coming, sitting in the auditorium, crying out, hadn't been in church in forever, and they continued that way for a little while, and then statistically, America was back to where it was about 6 months after 9/11. All you have to do is, Jesus said this himself. You remember in Luke 17, he talked about the 10 lepers. He healed all 10. He said, as you go to the priest, you'll be healed. Show them that you're clean. They were all healed. How many came back to say thanks? One. Jesus said to the one, where are the other nine? But not Noah. Noah was overwhelmed with thankfulness for what God had done. Noah worshiped. Let me share two truths with you this morning as we close. God remembered Noah, and on the full authority of Scripture and the indwelling Spirit in my own life, God remembered Noah and God remembers you. He remembers you. He remembered Aisha when she was fainting in grief. He knows exactly, perfectly, everything that's going on in your life. He is the God who sees. He's the great El Roy. Based on Scripture, here's what Scripture says about God's knowledge of you. He sees you. He knows you. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows exactly what you need. He's the God El Roy. Amen. We thank God for that. So let me just ask you, in what area of your life right now do you just need to literally say, God, would you please remember me? It's not that he's forgotten, but would you, in a very special way, God, Pastor Dave said that when you remember, you respond. I'm asking you, here I am, Lord, here I am. You know everything about me. Would you step into my life? Would you do an intervention? Number two. In Jesus, you have an advocate and a savior. Now just listen to this. You have an advocate and a savior. If you are, have been, or going into a time where you wonder where God is at, then you can certainly call out to Christ because he knows exactly how you feel. On the cross, Jesus said, it's the only time he didn't call the Father, Father. He called him God. He said, my God, what? Why have you forsaken me? God, he didn't say this. It's not recorded. God, I've done everything you've asked. I came from heaven to earth. I've taken insults from people that I actually created, that I actually brought into this earth. I followed everything you've ever asked me to do. I'm in my hour of need. I'm crying out to you on the cross. Why have you, where are you? And of course, he had to be forsaken so that we wouldn't need to be forsaken. Amen. He can forgive our sins because he laid them on Christ's life. Actually, the answer to the first question, does God forget? The red said no, there should be an asterisk, because that's not totally true. There is one thing God forgets. Our sin. Our sin. Here's what scripture is. I am he who blots out your transgressions. And listen to this. Because of what he did on the cross, I will remember your sins no more. Can we thank God for that? All over scripture. Let's stay at the cross. On the cross, you had the thief. You remember what the thief said? Jesus, will you remember me when you get into your kingdom? Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He's your advocate. He understands everything that you've ever gone through in life. He's felt the emotional pain and sting of that. And he went to the cross. He was forsaken by the Father. He took your sins. And all he asks now is for you to cry out to him. This is an Old Testament prayer. But if you don't know Christ, I'm asking you to think of Christ and the cross, interject him into this verse. This is where the Spirit of God wanted us to go. Listen to this. The psalmist David wrote this hundreds of years before Christ. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. We sang about the goodness of God. He's saying, remember your mercy. Remember not my sins. Would you remember me? And if you pray that prayer, then God is going to automatically, all those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Believer, do you know Christ? You should be the most thankful person in the world. You should lead your family, if you're a husband or whatever, you should lead your family to have your home be the altar where you're saying, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. If you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, then you should come to him this morning. Father, thank you again for your blessings, your goodness, your grace, and your kindness. Lord, I cannot get Aisha out of my mind these last couple of days. I do thank you, Lord, that as she was reviving physically, she was telling us about having trusted in you just 3 years earlier, given her life to you. Lord, I pray somehow you would reach her here this morning. Let her know that she's cared for and loved by your servants. Lord, there's one and many here, whether they've been religious, gone to church, member of the church, but they don't know you. They don't know you at the deepest core, most inner part of their being, with their heart and their mind and their soul. They've never been as needy as the day Noah got out of the ark. They've never been on the ground crying out for your mercy and your grace. They've never seen the beauty of your son on the cross being forsaken so that they don't have to. Lord, would you draw those individuals right now? Would they just cry out to you? Would they say to you, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner? Would they say, Jesus, please forgive my sins and come into my life. Might they ask you to remember them, which I know you'll do. Lord, the Lakeside Church family, as we get ready to go to the communion table, Lord, would you give us a spirit-led thankfulness here this morning for the believers that are here? Might you help those who have professed Christ many years ago to recall their life outside of Christ. Might you just overwhelm us with your goodness and your mercy. Might we remember what you have done on our behalf. Oh Lord, help us to be a thankful people here this morning. In Christ's precious name, amen.